give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Be thou glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise as you take your seat in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Is God blessing us or not? We are going to be continuing this morning on the download we started with yesterday. We began with the challenge of leadership. So this is the second part of the message of yesterday, which is kingship dash leadership and people influence. This will be part two of the message. We started with the challenge of leadership. We went on to the necessity of leadership. We went on to understanding what leadership is not. Now we are continuing with what leadership is. What is leadership? What is leadership? Acts chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible said, when they beheld, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Number one, leadership is effortless people influence. Effortless. People influence. Capacity to exert positive influence on people effortlessly. Effortless people influence. The capacity to exert positive influence on people effortlessly. When people come around you, your influence on people is effortless and it is positive. The struggle to influence people is not leadership. Negative influence on people is negative leadership. That's leadership. Number two, leadership is the effortless command of followership. Effortless command of followership. Being able to galvanize or rally followership effortlessly. The effortless command of followership. In the book of Matthew chapter 8 and in verse 1, the Bible said, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. It is the effortless command of followership. And I want to qualify something. It is the command of followership without coercion, force, intimidation, or manipulation. The command of followership without coercion, force, intimidation, or manipulation. When a person coerces people to follow them, he's not a leader. When a person uses force or the use of forceful language to make people follow him, he's not a leader. Do you know at all that I'm the pastor of this church? Do you know that I'm your head? Will you talk to me like that? I heard somebody say some time ago, whether you like it or not, I'm your president. Those are not leaders.
In leadership, followership is end, not first.
People follow you because you earn it. You didn't force it.
It's the command of followership, effortlessly, without the use of force, without the use of coercion, without the use of intimidation, without the use of manipulation. That is, you are a person that people are gladly willing to follow. The leader is the person that people are gladly willing to follow. They are willing to follow and they are glad to do so. They are gladly willing to follow. Gladly willing to follow. Gladly willing. The element of gladness is there. The element of willingness is there. They are glad to follow. They are willing to follow. That is a leader.
What is leadership? Number three. Leadership is taking people or institutions in the direction that is in the best of their interest. Again, leadership is taking people, institutions, organizations, nations in the direction that is in the best of their interest. I'd like you to see that qualification. In the best of the people's interest. Not in the best of the leader's interest. There are people who are taking organizations and taking institutions and taking nations in the direction that is of interest to them. That is not of interest to the people. It's not best for the people. It's doing them no good. That's not leadership. The leader is a direction provider. It's a direction giver. But he's taking the people in a direction that is in the best of their interest. Let me qualify it further. It is taking people in the direction that is most profitable and advantageous to them. Most profitable and advantageous. The people will bless you for taking them where you are taking them. They will bless you for being their president. They will bless you for being their pastor. They bless you for being their president, their governor. Why? You took them in the direction that is most profitable and advantageous to them. Let me qualify it further. The leader takes people in the direction that they couldn't have taken themselves. You take the people in the direction that they couldn't have taken themselves. By themselves, they couldn't have realized such. They couldn't have taken themselves. There are people here who came to this church. The other day, someone brought a pastor's gift to me. Say, I have this for you. In plenty zeros, 6 zeros. I say, you that I give transport money, you that you come to church, you don't know how to go back. You that they ejected from accommodation and now you needed to be assisted, you now have an organization where you are paying some people $500,000 a month. You. That is a direction such a person couldn't have taken themselves. What of those who came here today, who came here and they were not even church workers,
who are now pastors, state pastors, regional pastors. Hallelujah. The critical thing is that leadership, you are taking the people somewhere, but you are taking them in the direction that is in the best of their interest. There are people taking nations nowhere. When you have someone who is taking you nowhere, you are face to face with a disaster. When you are with someone that is taking you in a negative direction, you are face to face with a disaster. Number four, leadership. And the question we should ask ourselves is, whoever I call a leader, where is he taking me so far? Number four, leadership is taking the lead. Stepping forward. Taking the lead. Stepping forward. And having people and institutions line up behind your lead. In leadership, you took the lead. And the people line up behind your lead. And the people line up. The institutions line up behind your lead. You took the lead. You took the lead. You took the lead. Leadership is taking steps that make people take steps after you. You took the steps that make them take the steps. You didn't invite them. They just took the steps. When David brought down Goliath, all Israel lined up behind him in the pursuit of the Philistines. They were hiding before. They were all in their caves. 1 Samuel 17, 51 and 52. They were all hiding in caves. But the moment Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Then Israel came. Did you jump verse 52? And the men of Israel and of Judah, don't do that. It's a continuation. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Sharon. Now these were people hiding in caves. How many of you remember that? That all Israel were hiding for 40 days. Their king was hiding. But a man, a leader, stepped forward and pulled down their giant, and they came out of the caves and Oh Lord. So the leader can be a limitation for the people or a liberation for the people. Can be a limitation for the people or a liberation for the people. Saul was a limitation for the people. David was a liberation for the people. Your life, your actions can either limit the people following you or liberate the people following you. That's why John Maxwell said that everything rises or falls on leadership. When in this Uganda that we went, they were interviewing us at the airport. So you do this, you know that. So how are you able to make people to pray in the night? You do all night vigil. You do this program that people are there all the time. And how do you get the people to? I said, there is no struggle in getting the people to do nothing. They just see you do what you do. They see you up every night at Command the Day Midnight Prayer. They see you in church preaching multiple services. They see you everywhere around the world doing the crusades. One day somebody told me, after we finished night vigil, I think from the vigil I went for a program somewhere, Asaba Crusade or something. something. I just went for a program. And this person said, he woke up from the bed around 11 from the vigil and saw me preaching somewhere in another city. After finishing, he said, a voice told him, look at your life. He cleaned his eyes. He said, what are you doing? Stand up! He stood up from the bed. That was how sleep died. You are not the one who preached. You are not the one who ministered. You are still lying down when the person who preached is now preaching in another place.
Wake up.
Wake up. You take the lead. The people take steps after you. You didn't even invite them. Because I heard that the spirit of the ruler reigns in the kingdom. Leadership is taking the lead, taking the step, and people line up behind you. That was number four. Number five, very, very important. Leadership is the transference of visions, convictions, and emotions into others, resulting in positive, profitable actions and outcomes. Say that again. Leadership is the transference of visions, convictions, and emotions onto others. You can qualify it as positive visions, convictions, and emotion into others, resulting in positive, profitable actions and outcomes. What are we saying? Every leader transfers vision. You make the people know, listen, this is what, where we are. This is what need to be done. You transfer vision and transfer conviction and emotion. You say the things you say with the feeling, appropriate feeling. Appropriate feeling. For Nehemiah, he cried. When he heard about the wall of Jerusalem, he cried. He wept. And he communicated the vision with passion. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and in verse 17, when he was to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, he said, then say unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burnt with fire. Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Next verse. Then I told them of the hand of God that was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise. Positive action, positive outcome, and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Is anybody getting anything at all this moment? Is anybody getting anything at all this moment? So you cannot call yourself a leader until the vision in you is transferred to the people. Until the conviction in you is transferred to the people. With the appropriate emotion. In August, July 2007, we had the stadium program at National Stadium. August 2007, we had the same program at National Stadium. September 2007, we had a night vigil still at the National Stadium. Two of them, the rain fell, drizzled. One it fell, one it drizzled. After those three programs, the government said they wouldn't give the National Stadium for use anymore for church or Christian programs. And I stood and I told the people, you know what? That is a sign that we are going to build our own stadium. Where we will be, we'll worship God free of charge. We won't think of renting sound, renting media. We won't think of renting space or pay for anything. And we are going to build a stadium that is covered with roof so that we don't have to battle with rain or anything. The vision was communicated with passion. People ran with it. Construction started at the appropriate time. We started looking for land. Construction started at the appropriate time. Finished at the appropriate time. Because the vision was communicated. No struggles. No struggles throughout it. In the midst of the construction, we spent what we spent in the construction in a year, in a month, was more than church income in a year. Yet the construction was going on. Yes. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was going on. We had to buy. That is, those are the days of construction. Give the Lord the praise. Give the Lord the praise. Many of us communicate vision, but we don't communicate emotion. We don't communicate the conviction. We don't communicate the passion. These definitions of vision will suffice for now. Now let's go to pillars, definitions of leadership. What are the pillars? Okay, so before I go on, let me talk about the fifth definition. That's leadership is the transference of positive vision. What that means is you make people do what they need to do. What they need to and have to do. That's leadership. You make people do what they need to do. What they need and have to do in order to get the outcome that is most profitable and desirable in leadership. You make people do what they need to do, what they have to do in order to get the most profitable and desirable outcome. Other people can't do that. A leader does that. Being able to make people do what will benefit them. Being able to make people do what will profit them. Being able to make people do what is in the best of their interest. So you transfer the vision. You transfer the conviction. You transfer the emotion. And then they are able to do that. Now, pillars of leadership. What are the pillars that make the leader? Call it the endoskeleton of the leader. What core values make the leader? Who do you call a leader? Are you ready for this? I have plenty of them, but I will stop where I think we are saturated. And move to the next level. Number one, the leader is a person of vision. The leader is a visionary. What does that mean? Five things. A. The leader sees what others don't see. He sees what others can't see. That is what makes him the leader. He sees what others don't see. Within situations, he sees what others can't see. In 2015, myself and God's servant Papa Oyedepo, and maybe one or two other people, we saw where our nation was heading. Many couldn't see it. We shouted, we screamed. that the person they were clamoring for was coming to almost bury the nation. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see it. And once they couldn't see it, they entered into the pit. And we are still struggling to come out. The leader sees what others can't see. He sees what others don't see. So he is a man of vision. So there is a slight prophetic dimension to leadership. You don't have to be a prophet, but as a leader, there are things you see. You see pitfalls, you see traps, you see snares that the led cannot see. And you help them out of it. Secondly, this is 1B now. The leader sees the future before others see it. That was what Joseph saw in Genesis chapter 37, verse 5 to verse 9. The leader sees the future before others see it. I want to make a very profound statement and don't forget it. Ordinary people are preoccupied with the moment. The leader is preoccupied with the future. Normal people, ordinary people are preoccupied with the moment. The leader is preoccupied with the future. Our schedule for next year is concluded. The other year is loading. Where we will be, when we will be in the Philippines, when we will be in anywhere for next year is concluded. It has entered into the next year. Projects that should be undertaken next year is concluded. That's physical infrastructure. Expected crusades to be held, churches to be planted in thousands for next year is concluded. Many people, ordinary people, are preoccupied with the moment. The leader is preoccupied with the future. For him, the moment is already handled. He sees the future. He sees the future while others are occupied with the moment. He sees the future before others see it. Thirdly, it's 1C. You remember how David, before he pulled down Goliath, he already saw how he will cut off the head. And he had no sword in his hands. Thirdly, the leader sees the future that is better and preferred to the present. It's better and preferred. It's better and preferred to the present. Meaning that things may look bad to others now, but for the leader, it is getting better. It's getting better. Is getting better. He is not focused on what is not working now. He's not focused on how it is not adequate right now. He is focused on how it is going to get better compared to the. He sees a tomorrow that is far better than today. And he's ready to lead others there. He sees a tomorrow that is far better than it today, and is ready to lead others there. You know, to see ahead is to get ahead. If you want to get ahead, you must see ahead. Fourthly, 1D, the leader sees visions of impossibilities. The thing that doesn't appear possible, he sees them. Even in the realm of people influence. Here was Joseph seeing his mother and father bowing down for him. How? You are seeing a crowd that only your mind is seeing. Your eyes, physical eyes, haven't seen. You are seeing a multitude that an influence that is not physical yet. You see it ahead. And you know that what you don't see coming never comes. And what is not in your vision today cannot be your reality tomorrow. Finally, E, the leader sees the visions of supply and harvest. Regarding his assignment, visions of supply, visions of the harvest in his assignment. He said, we are binding sheaf, and I see yours bowing. He's seen themselves, the sheaf is the harvest. We went to the farm and we brought home harvest. Supplies, supplies. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. When this construction started and we continued, they will bring bills, cement, 100 million. Iron rod, 350 million. In those days, at that time. So they are trying to find out from me where to sign the money from. I said, go ahead and purchase it. And they didn't have the mouth to say there is no money. You can't tell me that. There has to be money. Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. And they went ahead. They went ahead. There was no occasion where we needed to get something, we couldn't get it, irrespective of the millions involved. Custom duty for the perimeter beam was in hundreds of millions. Not the purchase price, though. That is of that time. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, 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 I receive my supplies in the name of Jesus. You see it? It's going to be amazing. Keep going. The most drastic one was when we had 10 days. Can you look at the girl there? It's all right. Girl Becky. Somebody give the Lord a praise for what he did for us there. Give the Lord a bigger, bigger clap and a shout of praise. A bigger, bigger clap and a louder shout of praise. He sees the supply. Now, number two, let's go to pillar number two. The leader is a person of conviction. It's a person of conviction. It is not possible to be a leader without being a person of conviction, solid conviction. And four or five things I'm going to say concerning this. What does it mean? First, the leader has a mind of his own. He is not an easy victim of external influence or interference. The leader has a mind of his own. He is not an easy victim of external influence or interference. Many people can be easily influenced from others, from what they know is the right thing to do, the best thing to do. But the leader is not an easy victim. Genesis chapter 37 and in verse 2 showed us how Joseph was a person that was different from the rest. Secondly, the leader does not follow the path of the majority if it is wrong. He does not follow the path of the majority if it is wrong. He is not a victim of the consensus or the crowd control or the control of the crowd. He does not follow the path of the majority if it is wrong. He is not a victim of the consensus. There are pillars of leadership. There are people who are addicted to approval. Can I go forward? Thirdly, see, the leader has the capacity to take a stand, even if he has to stand alone. That is what makes him a leader. He has the capacity to take a stand, even if he has to stand alone, especially the right stand. Can I go forward? Fourthly, the leader has the capacity to say a firm no without apology where that has to be done. He has the capacity to say a firm no where that is necessary without apology. What does that mean? The leader does not feel awkward or behave apologetically when doing the right thing. He doesn't feel awkward or behave apologetically when doing the right thing. Ordinary people feel awkward. Ordinary people apologize. They don't want to offend anybody when doing the right thing. But the leader does not feel awkward or apologetic when doing the right thing. Finally, we are still under the conviction. Fifthly, on the issue of conviction, the leader is not afraid to be misunderstood or perceived as controversial. He doesn't. He's not afraid. He's not afraid to be misunderstood by your world, by the people around, even by some of the followership, or perceived to be controversial. When doing the right thing, when doing the right thing. Because in the words of Archbishop Idahosa, he knows that it is better to be controversial than to be inconsequential. Hallelujah. He knows it is better to be controversial. Now, what makes the leader not to be afraid to be misunderstood? Because he knows that at the end they will understand. He knows the end justifies the means. People who didn't understand us in 2015, they have understood now. Because body hears more than ears. Eliab didn't understand David. You naughty boy. You came to see the fight. What are you doing here? So leave me alone. You don't understand now, you'll understand later. By the time he brought down Goliath, did Eliab understand or not? He more than understood. And by the time David became the president of Israel, where was Eliab? Where will he look? You thought I was controversial. I am now consequential. Look at your neighbor. Say, don't be afraid. That is how some of us have lived our lives. Brutally. Think anything you think. All I need is clearance from God. Just to be sure and from the and the word. Just to be and his word. Just to be sure. That I'm not just exercising zeal or just doing anything. I am just on the right course. And most times, I clear with God's servant, my father in the Lord. One day God told him something. A particular action. And I was going to take a particular action. And he said, no, I shouldn't take that action. Later on, he called me. He said, God told him that it is him he told not to take the action, not me. I say, yes, sir. He won't apply his direction to me. That the direction he received was for himself. Ay, 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 ay. Oh, that's humility. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? So once I get, I check with the word, I check with the Spirit of God, and I cross-check because in the mouth of witnesses, every word is confirmed, and in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And I am cleared. I clear the devil. Lift up your right hand and say, Father. Louder, say, Father. Help me to be a person of vision and help me to be a person of conviction. In the name of Jesus, help me to be, Lord, that person of vision. Help me to be that person of conviction, Lord, in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Are we ready to take more? Is the lecture format okay? I know we need a lot of fire. Amen. Yeah, shout yeah. And all of that. I can go on. How many more pillars can we take? All right, let's take as much as we can because we have plenty. Not 8, not 9, not 10. All right, let's go to number 3. The leader is a person of character. It's a person of character. Character is the bedrock, backbone of leadership. It's a person of character. And I will tell you how that works in leadership. It's a person of character. First of all, what is the meaning of that? A, the leader is different from the majority. So he can make a difference on the majority. He is different from the majority. When people look at this one and say, this one is different. This one is different. This one is different. So he can make a difference on the majority. He is different from the majority, so he can have influence on the majority. If you are not different from them, you don't have influence on them. If you are the same with people, you cannot influence the people. You are the same in behavior, the same in character. It has been discovered that people will gladly follow anyone who is of a more powerful character than them. They gladly follow. They gladly follow. They gladly follow. Somebody, a pastor, told me that when I was giving money in one of the crusades, and I said, we will not collect it. You know, the people came earlier on by the side that they have a money that they've been sent to give us. I said, we don't touch it. We won't touch it. I don't know what was on their mind. They insisted, and came to the stage with the money. Dr. Miss Anencha said, what will we do? I said, let them present it. Let them go ahead. You will see what we will do. Yeah, she said, we cannot. No, what can we? We can't. She already, we cannot receive it. It's confirmed. But now that they have come to this, how do we go about it? I said, she should relax. It's even better for me that they came like this. It's better that they have come like this so that it can be rejected publicly. We told you not to bring it, you brought it. Okay, come. Do you understand what I'm saying? And then that happened. And that is not the first time. There are not the second, not the third. All the time. I don't want to mention other places. But I know in Southeast it happened, rejected. South-South it happened, rejected. North Central it happened, rejected. And not today. So he says somebody from the other religion, many of them talked about it, how some of their clerics, how that the money was rejected. So one was asking a young man who's saying, how do pastors get money before somebody can reject such a money? You see, because for some of the mentalities, of some of their mentalities, he was telling them, he said, one, they consider it a favor. Two, it's also considered right to get such. He said, so no, that is not how we operate. These ones are different. They used it to preach for a long time. Am I communicating at all? It is not possible. If people don't perceive that you are different, your influence is zero. Zero. It's zero. People will gladly line up behind anyone they think is better than them, or anyone they think it has a more powerful quality than them, has a quality they don't have. The leader is different. Secondly, the leader is a principled person. So he ends as a principal person, principled. He lives by guidelines, rules, principles. He's a principled person. So he ends up as a principled person. He lives his life by a set of rules, set of guidelines, principles. Third, the leader endeavors to live above reproach and blame. We saw that in the life of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 6 and in verse 4. Endeavors to live above reproach and blame. Endeavors. That is, he embraces the way of right and avoids the way of wrong. And people see it and they know it. They see it, they know it. He embraces the way of right, avoids the way of wrong. consciously. Fourthly, the leader is a conscientious person. Conscientious. He exists with a conscience that is awake, alive, and at work. He's a conscientious person. The reason why we have disastrous leadership across board in many places is because we have people who don't have conscience. The leader is a conscientious person, a person with a conscience that is alive, a conscience that is awake, a conscience that is at work. Finally, the leader is the same person, both in the field and in the house. It's the same person. Joseph's brethren were one thing outside their father's presence, and they were something else in their father's presence. But the leader is the same thing, both in the field and in the house. Have you ever imagined someone who is a very, very nice person to everybody in the office? Very, very nice, pleasant personality until it is time to go home. And his wife sees him coming, he takes off. Children take cover. The same person. Is nice to everybody else. That's not a leader. Hallelujah. Is anybody getting anything at all? Let me take only 5 this morning and then we'll continue. Number 4, the leader is a trustable person. Trustable. Trustable, trustworthy. He's a trustable person. He can be trusted. That is, people follow you if you can be trusted. He's a trustable person. A real leader must be trustable, trustworthy, trusted. Remember Joseph in Potiphar's house? Remember Joseph in the prison? Let me give you 5 implications of this, and then we'll round off with one more point. First, 4A. The leader builds trust. By repeated actions until there is no fear or risk in dealing with them. Say that again. The leader builds trust by repeated positive action until people have no fear, until there is no fear or risk in dealing with them. No fear, no risk. The reason why most people can't deal with some people is that they don't trust them. People can entrust you with their lives and their resources because you are trusted. They entrust you with their lives. They entrust you with their resources because you are trusted. Papa Yedeko said one day, he's very blunt. He went to America, preached somewhere. And one pastor met him and he said, "Excuse me, sir. I just want to ask you a question. I know people give in your church and there is a lot of resources. Why is it that people don't give in our church?" So he looks at the man, he said, "Do you want me to tell you the truth?" He said, "Yes, tell me." He said, "They don't trust you." They don't trust you. Point blank, they don't trust you. Leaders build trust by repeated positive action until there is no risk or fear in dealing with them. Number two, B, leaders ensure that their word is their bond. That builds trust. Their word is their bond. They mean what they say and say what they mean. They also do what they promise. Leaders ensure that their word is their bond. They mean what they say. They say what they mean. And they also do what they promise. Let me give you an example. Two examples of repeated positive action. When we planted the first churches of Dunamis, the first branches were five branches. The same day we planted five churches. That was how we started. Planted Just Church, Gwagwalada Utukpo Makode, and Numahia. Five of them we planted the same day. So I told the church people, we are about to plant five churches. We need equipment, sound system for all the five churches. Can everybody give as God leads them? And people gave massively. We went and bought the equipment. On the day that the pastors were to be released, five sets of equipment were on the altar. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. People, the money you gave for the equipment to be bought, here is it. Here are the equipments. And now, these are the people that will be going. Let's pray for them. Do you know what that did to the mind of people? Really? You don't have to bring the equipment out. You went and bought the equipment and brought it on the altar. It's all right. The time came in our church in Area 1 where people will come and say, excuse me, sir, you have not asked for an offering in a long time. Is there not no need to take any seed? One day, a young man came, a friend of mine came, and he preached in our church. It was my birthday on a Sunday. And he preached. And then, he said, the Bible said that anybody who waters us, we shall water him. People are like us to give. I like us to give. Let's give. The year 2000, 25 years ago. Let's give to our prophet. Let's bless him. Let's honor him. He has blessed us. The year 2000, 25 years ago, they raised 675,000 on a Sunday morning. You know that? How much that is today. So I came out and I said, people, I want to appreciate everyone for the giving you have done. But I want to say three things. Number one, what the man did is not wrong, because the Bible said we should bless anyone who blesses us. Number two, I didn't ask him to do it. Number three, I don't need the money. I return it back to the church. People began to look at, what is this? The person who was our accounts and treasurer at that time is here. Come, 25 years ago. That's is now Pastor Wori Paga. He was deacon then. He was the one who counted the money and brought it and said, this is what they gave. He was our chief financial officer then. He's in the UK now, pastoring one of the locations. And he came to me and went on his knees. He says, sir, pray for me. I say, for what? He said, your heart for God, heart against money. He said, the money of the church, you don't touch it. This one now that they say they should give you, you refuse. I'm happy to see you here. You are looking very young now. He was working with All States Trust Bank. You remember at that time? Was a Great banker then. God bless you. Please go to your seat.
I evangelized him from the hospital I was working.
Okay.
He came for consultation.
In the hospital in Wuse then?
Yes, sir.
Incredible. So, real. This is raw. What do you think will happen to the mind of people? That is, take 1 billion. Take 500 million for the work. There are people that come to give and will say, take receipt. Say, receipt for what? You have to receive this gift. Say, I don't need receipt. I'm okay. I'm not afraid of anything. By repeat, and this kind of actions repeated, bring people to a point. Now, many of us, one behavior will just knock out believability. And some of you, it is your friends that spoil your work. The guest minister you invite. They come and say things that make people suspect yourself. That if this man is talking like this and he's your friend, then you are the same thing. There are those who so talk so carelessly. Bring your offering or we'll collect it by force. And they think he's a rascal. I don't understand where they got such from. Hallelujah. Beloved brothers and sisters, in any realm where you need to be followed, you must be trusted. You must be trusted. You must. How do we go around the world? You are not raising offering on crusade grounds, and crusades are everywhere. We are going to Mozambique, we are going to Namibia. No stress. Number C, leaders rather exceed expectations than deny expectations. What do I mean? The expectations of the followership in terms of results, they rather exceed it than deny the expectation. It's like we are raising money for generator, and like God's handmaiden said the other just now, the people came, they didn't see any generator. What they saw was a new car of the pastor. Sarah, is it generator or generator? Please take note of this. Don't forget this. Leaders rather underpromise and overdeliver than overpromise and underdeliver. Say that again. For leaders, it is better to underpromise and overdeliver than overpromise and underdeliver. That erodes trust. You said so much, but you couldn't do it. It's worse than not saying too much, but you did so much. You blew the expectations of the people. And this applies to every person in every realm of work. Fourthly, D, leaders go out of their way to be trustable. They go out of their way. That is, they sacrifice a great deal to be trustable. They go out of the way to be trustable. They sacrifice a great deal to be trustable. They deny themselves both pleasure and leisure to be trustable. They deny pleasure, they deny leisure. Like Psalm 15 verse 4 says, he sweareth to his heart and changeth not. Swear it to his heart. For them, trustability is a capital requirement. They go out of their way to be trustable. They sacrifice so they can be trusted. And finally, E,
leaders take a stand to be trustable. That is, they refuse to be like others if that will make them lose trust. They take a stand to be trustable. They refuse to be like others so they can be trustable. They refuse to follow the examples of others so they can be trustable. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. In order not to be oversaturated, let me take this one and then we'll close here. Leaders connect divine help and presence. The most impactful leaders on earth, they connect divine help and presence. What is the meaning of that? Three things and we close. True leaders defer to the authority of the ultimate leader. They defer to that authority. I am a man under authority. They defer.
Abraham Lincoln said nobody can rule well without a copy of the Bible. He was the leader of a secular nation.
They defer.
For strength, for wisdom, they defer to the authority of a higher leader. Secondly, real leaders live in the consciousness of the Almighty as people that will be held accountable. They live in the consciousness of the Almighty as people who will be held accountable for their leadership. They know that one day, the organizations they led, the institutions they led, the churches they led, they will give the account of them to the Almighty. So they live with that consciousness, with the consciousness of the presence of the Almighty as those that must be held accountable for their leadership. That consciousness, it helps the leader. And finally,
leaders know their limitations. So they connect with the help that is higher than them.
Every true leader knows his limitation. You know where things you cannot do. You know how limited you are. They know their limitations. So they connect
with help that is higher than them. Help from the Almighty.
David before Goliath said,
"You come against me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come against you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel that you have defied." Nehemiah sought the help of God. Today, I see somebody rising in leadership. Anybody blessed, say amen. Anybody blessed here, say aloud, amen. Someone who has been heavily and highly blessed, shout the loud, must say amen.
Who has been the most blessed person here this morning? Who has been the most blessed person here this morning?
How many people received something today? You received something today that will shape your life and shape your leadership. How many of us see actions that will change going forward? Stand up on your feet. It came to a conference and it was a school we came. Yeah, you will be shocked. By the time you put these things into practice, you will be shocked at how sweet your walk became, how sweet your life became. The people you thought hated you, they are not doing what you are saying for them to do. How effortlessly you will galvanize them. How excited they will be to be around you. Because themselves will notice that something about you changed. Stand up on your feet, everybody. Stand up on your feet.
You're shaking your head.
Give the Lord a clap of hand. I wish that every leader, president, governor, prime minister, will hearken to this, listen to it, all of us, and make life better for ourselves and for the people around us. Lift your hands, and two prayers we are going to pray. The first prayer is an appreciation to God for his word. Lift your voice and your hands and say after me, say, Father, thank you for your word to me today. I am grateful, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lift your voice and pray. Let's go. Take it for 2 minutes.